The circuit-riding preacher used to ride across the land with a rifle on his saddle and a Bible in his hand. He told the prairie people all about the promised land as he went riding, singing down the trail.
The first cracks are appearing in the dam of the mirage of global peace. Breaking, President Trump officially confirms that Iran has received a proposal for an interim nuclear deal aboard Air Force One. He stated they have a proposal and now they have to move quickly or something bad is going to happen, so reports Amir Tsarfati. This is Pastor Sam and the Gospel Gunslingers on the Living by the Sword worldwide radio program. Thank you for joining us. Much to say tonight about the mystery of the faith. We did not cover the mighty prophet Charles Ingalls last week, so we'll do that along with Lake Pippin and the monster therein. More tales of my travels, interaction with the tough Harley riders, and a very professional law enforcement encounter. Isn't that refreshing? We're going to kick it off with a great tune by Ricky Van Shelton, one I'll never forget because when I was a student at Oral Roberts University and Richard Roberts took the presidency, he invited Ricky Van Shelton to come to chapel and preach.
"I don't even own a suit," responded Ricky, to which the evangelist replied, "If you come and play at my university, I will make everyone else dress up country and western." I and most of the other 5,000 students did exactly that, and this is the song Ricky sang.
I feel it describes me aptly because the only thing exceptional about me is how regular I am.
With me, I ain't done nothing far as I can see, and I'm worn out from working too hard. Why don't you give me a break? I know that lately things ain't been so good. I'll make it up just like I told you I would, but I'm tired and I wanna sit down to ease the soul back ache. Say you're having trouble figuring me. I don't believe I'm such a mystery. Baby, what you get is what you see. I am a simple man. I want a job and a piece of land. 3 squares in my frying pan. Don't seem so hard to me to understand. I am a simple man. Why don't you give it a rest? I don't know what else I can say to you. I'm doing everything I know to do, and I can't give you anything more when I'm giving my best. Say you're having trouble figuring me. I don't believe I'm such a mystery. What you see, I am a simple man. I want a job and a piece of land. 3 squares in my frying pan. Don't seem so hard to me to understand. I am a simple man. Simple man, you say you're having trouble feeling me. I don't believe in such a mystery. Baby, what you get is what you see. I am a simple man. I want a job and a piece of land. 3 squares in my frying pan. Don't seem so hard to me to understand.
I don't know why you say it. You can't figure me out. It's not such a mystery. We're going to talk about some mysteries tonight, too. You know, the word mystery occurs 3 times in Galatians 3. Mysterion in the Greek. I ask everyone and challenge everyone on whether or not their pastor's a black belt. Well, what's his excuse? Not only am I a black belt, I'm also a little bit of a cryptozoologist. We solve mysteries of many types, from the spooky to the cryptozoological. A lot of the keys are in the Bible. For us to see, for us to know, for us to learn, for us to be able to solve mysteries. We find missing persons. We crack cold cases. Sometimes all it ever took was for someone to pray, to have a few tools and abilities, and as the founder of the Topos de Tlatelolco said, tenemos los huevos ir donde los demás no quieren. We have the balls to go where the rest of people do not want to go. Because they would go into collapsed buildings with no skills, no abilities, no tools. And that's how one of the greatest civil rescue outfits in all of Latin America got their start in 1985 in the great earthquake of Mexico City. I'll always love Simple Man by Ricky Van Shelton. When he struck it up, there was so much excitement in the Christ Chapel at ORU. We all dressed in jeans and flannel, bandanas. If a kid had one in his closet, a cowboy hat. The girls all dressed up, too. They had their checkered dresses just like they were going out for a picnic of some fried chicken with a cowboy. They wore their denim skirts, and a big, big treat for the girls in ORU of the day. They got to wear jeans to class. Yeah, that was a treat because normally they had to wear skirts and dresses every day. No worries, though. All of that's over. The school has modernized and come into alignment with our debauched society. Girls can be out all night and wear anything they want. For the most part, and the young men don't have to shave, and they can dress just like the slob newscast photographers, who, in my experience, show up disheveled even to see Mr. Trump at the Casa Blanca, or President Bukele at the Casa Presidencial. Oral Roberts thought there was no excuse for fat preachers, and we had to do physical exercise, taking an HPE class every semester and passing our 3-mile run field test. It was difficult enough, you had to practice for it and actually stay in shape. If a student, male or female, flunked the 3-mile run, they were put on physical probation, and if they flunked it again, they were out. One organization we all have to thank, or rather to blame, for the dilution of those noble standards is the NCAA. Yes, for the university to continue competition in collegiate sports, they had to get rid of all those rules that the NCAA and all the liberals thought were archaic. Anyway, 30 years ago, we got the day off a dress code and dressed up country and western to go see Ricky Van Shelton. I even hammed it up a little bit and made a huge artificial hayseed out of a chopstick, a piece of rubber hose on the end, and hot glued toothpicks on to create the Las Espigas, the head of the wheat or hayseed. I accessorized with that when we went to see Ricky Van Shelton, and he opened up with that song, Simple Man. President Roberts had been highly successful singing both Christian and secular music, and he had met Ricky out on the tour circuit. Ricky had recently gone through a trial in his life, and while I'm sure he had previously lived it up as a superstar, he got very serious about the faith. Ricky went on to make gospel albums. I only wish that he would have come all the way into the Holy Ghost Pentecostal gospel that we preached. Like so many patriots today, they decided to come back to the Lord and wind up in a main line, a very stuffy, dusty. They wind up in a movement that's on the descent of its trajectory. It's already long past its zenith and is on the way back down. Now we've got even Pentecostal movements that are the same. They are on the descent of their ark. Some are even crashing and burning like meteors. I don't know why we say meteoric rise. Meteors don't rise. Meteors fall, and they fall with a great crash. And that's what we're seeing a lot of movements do. Because they didn't go all the way, because they didn't adhere to the standards of our forefathers, because they did not fully embrace the mystery. So we close the segment. I'm going to read to you the 3 verses about the mystery. This is Ephesians 3:3. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery as I wrote afore in a few words. 3:2 says, if you've heard the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you ward. And then he tells that it is a mystery that they have to embrace. Verse 4, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Guys, stick around. Understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. I want to take you outside of the box of the four walls of dusty, crusty, cobweb-ridden, old-school, centuries-old American Christianity, and back to the standard of holiness and of decency of the forefathers, an area where they were right. That's what brought in. It was the groundswell of holiness that preceded even the Pentecostal outbreaks and revivals in Wales in 1904 and Azusa Street in Los Angeles, California in 1906. That was before the NCAA. Verse 8, unto me, says the apostle, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. See, even Paul is saying that he's a simple man, but he was chosen, and there was a special grace that was given to him, and he understood the unsearchable riches, the vast wealth, the treasure room where mountains of gold stretched on to the horizon. He tells that there are unsearchable riches in this kingdom, and then he says how you get in. Verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Friend, if you are out there listening, and you say to yourself, if you say to God, I need to come back to the Lord, I need to put foolish and childish ways behind me, I need to get serious about the faith, well, do it. Get serious about the faith. Don't go park yourself amidst a bunch of dust bunnies and cobwebs. Find a movement that teaches the new birth and baptism and where people are walking and working in the miraculous. It's not like it used to be where there were just a few of us that moved in the miraculous and the feds and the CIA were all over us constantly. There has been a breakout of the mystery, but you have to embrace it. All right, I'm going to talk a little bit more about my travels. We're going to switch it up to Bob Seger. I crossed the Mackinac Narrows Bridge for the second time on my lightweight motorcycle, a harrowing experience in high winds. The wind is horrid there, even on a placid day, crossing the rocky Estrecha, the Mackinac Narrows, a strait which has never been swum. I got a great Polaroid of it. I'll post it up on the Gospel Gunslinger's Twitter. Seeger, being a Michigander, sings about the Mackinac Narrows. For him, it wasn't a faraway place. It reminded him of his home when he was out singing on the road like a stranger in a strange land, constantly threatened by hostile hillbillies and treacherous townies. Here's his classic, Turn the Page.
On a long and lonesome highway east of Omaha, you can listen to the engine moaning out his one note song. You can think about the woman or the girl you knew the night before. But your thoughts will soon be wandering the way they always do when you're riding 16 hours and there's nothing much to do. And you don't feel much like riding, you just wish the trip was through. See, here I am on the road again. There I am up on the stage. Here I go playing star again. There I go, turn the page. Well, you walk into a restaurant strung out from the road, and you feel the eyes upon you as you're shaking off the cold. You pretend it doesn't bother you, but you just want to explode. Mm. Most times you can't hear them talk, other times you can. All the same old cliches. Is that a woman or a man? And you always see my number. You don't dare make a stand. Here I am on the road again. There I am up on the stage. Here I go playing the star again. There I go, turn the page. Spotlight, you're a million miles away. Every ounce of energy you try to give away. As the sweat pulls out your body like the music that you play. Later in the evening as you lie awake in bed, with the echoes from the amplifiers ringing in your head, you smoke the day's last cigarette, remembering what you said. Ah, here I am on the road again. There I am up on the stage. Here I go, playing star again. There I go, turn the page. Ah, here I am, on the road again. There I am, up on the stage. Here I go, playing star again. There I go.
A long and lonesome highway east of Omaha, what could Bob Seger possibly be talking about? Ah, my stomping grounds, Iowa, Iowa. Yeah, the Mexican preacher said to me, he said, I have a question to you for you about your home. Where you are from, I ask you this, Iowa or no Iowa? Is there water or is there no water? But of course, that sounds just like the name of the state, Iowa, because it's an Indian word. I made sure in my response to tell him adequately of the bonanza, of the great blessing that the Lord has given us. Claro que sí, I said, of course, there is water. De hecho, in fact, this massive river that is the international border, the Rio Grande, or as you say, the Rio Bravo, we've got a dozen rivers bigger than that just in my state. It was all navigable by canoe, even before the Iron Horse. I discussed a week or two ago how I had gone to Dubuque, the most Catholic city in my state, the ancient seat of authority, the Archdiocese of Dubuque, from whence the Catholic Church controlled all the rivers up the Missouri River, into the Missouri River Valley, through the Dakotas, into Montana, even into Canada. In the days of Old Lang Syne, in the olden days, the Catholics ruled from Dubuque. I think the Lord knew that I wouldn't use prophecy even against that wicked city without a stark personal affront. Well, they provided it when an anxious housewife called the police on me. She lived, I suppose, at the address Google listed for a famous Christian author from Dubuque whom I've always wanted to meet.
I know. All of you think you live in America where you can park in front of anyone's house and walk up the path and ring the doorbell.
Sure, unless you're the Lord's ambassador, unless the angels of God, the holy angels, travel with you and before you, around you and behind you, unless the powers of heaven are arrayed against you celestially, up in the sky like dark storm clouds thundering. That's when a powerful principality can jump on any of his plebes, any of his servants, just like Agent Smith and the Lady in Red. This was my very first stop after picking up my shotgun, something that all the powers of heaven were clearly informed was about to happen. You know, turkey season closed yesterday, the final fourth spring season closed, and I had a lot of fun out chasing them around once I finally got a hold of my shotgun. And as I have published a lot about my guns and returning to being an armed citizen in the U.S. of A., I just remind you, I remind the world that this is not about me getting a gun. I could get a gun anywhere, even without breaking the law. Of course, I could also fab one out of baling wire. This is about the globalist world of corrupt fettydom letting me have a gun as I tap on all the doors, knock on all the doors, say Mother May I in every place, and do like I did in Dubuque and ring the doorbell. And of course, a wicked city has to strike back with a counter threat or an accusation or an assault. So everybody got what they wanted. I undusted my feet as I left the city and used prophecy against it. I sincerely hope that that young housewife doesn't cut herself on her own diamonds with all that hand-wringing. I told my friend from New York, you weekend warriors are just never going to understand. You don't know what it is to walk into, to drive through a foreign place, to get popped for nothing, for a turn signal, for a tag light, for nothing at all, and for literally driving while black. It's profiling. It's the gut feeling induced in a line officer by the diabolical, demonic matrix. So they, on a hunch, look for a pretext, make a stop on a pretext. They unpack all your luggage and put all your orderly things. They rip them out and throw them in a pile, or police dog jumps all over everything. And afterward, even if they let you go, you feel like you've been sodomized. I told my friend, I understand that's never happened to you. That's why I was so pleased to have a professional interaction with a very mature trooper, even though he was only in his 20s. I'll tell you all about it after the break, and after one more Bob Seger, this is Her Strut, because out in the turkey woods, there was a lot of clucking and a lot of strutting going on. It made me think of this tune. And I'm also thinking of it because Paula White decided, you know, she was totally committed to major independence. And as we discussed last week, theologians of the world say she's a complementarian. Well, she is a lady, but they love to watch her strut. All right, here's Seger.
wanted, young, skinny, wiry fellows, not over 18, must be expert horsemen willing to risk death daily, orphans preferred. That was the text of the old Pony Express ad, pasted to signposts in St. Joseph, Missouri. Such were the pioneers that made our nation great, from sea to shining sea. Today, also, God is looking for a few good men. He's looking for a few pistol-packing mamas. And I invite you to be among that number, to support your local gunfighter, to help us to broadcast. I want to be your pastor, and I want to be your missionary. Send me a prayer request. Send me a letter. Send me a dollar. You can also do it online at gospelgunslingers.com. Tell me your thoughts that you would like broadcast on the airwaves all the way to Antarctica. My mailing address is Pastor Sam Honnold, H-O-N-N-O-L-D, 7107 South Yale Avenue, number 434, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74136, USA. Let's be brothers in arms. I covet your friendship. Let's be fellow soldiers struggling for our free hemisphere. I cannot be out here on the cutting edge without you. I'm a refugee. I have left all. I am on the front lines, and like the United States military, for every soldier out shooting his gun, even a soldier who's not elite, even a soldier who's not on the cutting edge, have 17 soldiers behind him, cooking, loading trucks, driving trucks, flying planes, fueling vehicles. The apostle writes of the support structure in the Lord's army when he says, "Who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges?" In 1 Corinthians 9:7, the apostle is stating that the soldier on the front lines needs his brothers and sisters behind him. Would you do that for your brother Sam? Would you help me to stay on the air? Would you write out an envelope, write me a note, put in a few colones or quetzales, some Mexican or Argentine pesos or any of the pesos of the world, or send me some American dollars while they're still worth something? Someday, very soon, they won't be. But above all, I want your inscription. I want your enlistment. I want you to take up the sword. Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and take up the sword. Uncle Sam and the Gospel Gunslingers want you. Orphans preferred.
I'm an easy rider dreaming of Winona. That's a Kid Rock that I'm not going to play for you. It's just too far out there and too nasty. There's a point where human rage is very useful. There's also a point where it goes over the edge and becomes its own compulsion, its own obsession, its own mania. That's where guys like Kid Rock and M will spin a track that not even I will play. That's also where the Bible, I believe, says that the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Well, once it's beyond that point, it's no longer profitable. Jesus said, "Be angry and sin not." How about that? If we're going to snip and cut and paste, take a little snippet out of the Bible, be angry. Hey, baby, that's in red. Be angry, gospel gunslingers. Just sin not. Don't enter into the mania. But I'm going to talk a little bit about Winona, if we can, because I went to the Maiden's Leap, where the Indian maid decided she would run up the mountain and launch herself off of the cliff. She preferred that to marrying a man that she did not love. Hey, we are back on the Living by the Sword Worldwide Radio Show with Pastor Sam and the Gospel Gunslingers, broadcasting worldwide on 7.490, the world-famous WBCQ out of Monticello, Maine, and WRMI Radio Miami International, 9.955 megahertz into Latin America and the Caribbean. It is telling about my travels where I really teach the essential doctrines, but some news items that I know the world wants to hear about, and I'm very concerned about. The Mexican Navy sailing ship, a training vessel by the name of the Cuauhtémoc. Yes, they have an old one, just like the USS Constitution. And that gallant ship struck the Brooklyn Bridge over the weekend. Furthermore, the ship was dressed, meaning that the sailors in their dress uniforms had climbed up onto the masts into the rigging and were standing 5-6 levels high in a giant human pyramid, probably 100 sailors or more. As they were underway with those sailors up so high, the mast struck the Brooklyn Bridge. Many sailors were injured. Two of them have died. This is a tragedy, a national tragedy for the great Republic of Mexico.
We salute those marineros who have lost their lives keeping their nation's history and the revolutionary history of the Americas alive. A couple more headlines on Pastor Sam's Latin America War Report and Migrant Invasion News. This from Pirate Wire Services. Gustavo Petro orders security forces not to interfere as he calls for direct action in the streets. The subtitle, Colombian President Calls on Citizens to Organize Community Councils in Response to Senate Fraud on Popular Labor Reform Bill. I'll comment that the Petro presidency has just been a blight and a wart on the nose of Latin America. Thank God his term, as well as that of Gabriel Boric in Chile, is soon to come to an end. Thus, facing resistance from his legislature, he has called for the people to rise up and be violent against it. At the same time, he told the security forces to stand down. This excellent author, Joshua Collins, whom I have quoted pretty often, leans to the left quite a bit. For him to bring this scathing indictment of the leftist president's call for violence is really saying something. The nation is losing patience with their latest experiment, their one-term flirtation with leftism. This also from Pirate Wire Services. Ecuador declares war on Colombian guerrilla groups following deadly ambush. President Noboa categorizes three FARC dissident groups as enemy combatants. I'll comment that Ecuador is the hot zone in that northwest corner of South America. In fact, for the whole west coast of South America, because starting down at the bottom, Boric's Chile's languishing. Then you have Peru languishing. Also, Colombia and Venezuela are languishing under corrupt governments. In those places, we can only wait for the outbreak of war or a popular uprising and a toppling of the status quo. Very difficult when a cash-flush Iran is backing nations like Venezuela. But in Ecuador, Daniel Noboa, the banana king, the prince of bananas, the militant conservative president and scion of a family of banana billionaires, he is marching his country forward and he is facing down the criminal elements. There are well-established drug-growing and drug-and-human trafficking cartels in Ecuador and in the border regions. They're flush with cash from Iran, from China, and from a booming business in human flesh. On top of that, Ecuador is fresh out of serious leftism. Less than a decade ago, Lenin Moreno began to break the nation free of its leftist history. After his brief Trump-aligned presidency, the country has seesawed and teeter-tottered until Daniel Noboa. He just finished out a one-year lame-duck term. Fortunately, by the thinnest sliver, thanks be to God, Noboa was re-elected and held on to, clung tightly onto the reins of power. Now his nation is doing as promised and cracking down Bukele-style with the backing of the Trump administration on criminal elements, both within his nation and external actors. All right, let's hear some Johnny Cash. I'm going to play you another Ricky Van Shelton tune because he recorded a lot of gospel music around the time that he met with Richard Robertson afterward also. I'm thankful that he did that, but again, I'm a little disappointed. He didn't seem to address the full power of our Pentecostal history and faith. So his gospel music, even though he focuses on the freedom from death and hell in the afterlife, it's not the joy of going on to be with the Lord that we hear in other artists. So I'm going to play one Johnny Cash about this, and as your circuit riding preacher is out on the highways and byways, I want you to think about what it is to be a stranger and a sojourner and a pilgrim in this world, because if I'm anything, I'm that.
I am a pilgrim and a stranger traveling through this wearisome land. I've got a home in that yonder city, good Lord, and it's not made by hand. I've got a mother, got a sister and a brother who have gone this way before. I am determined to go and see them, good Lord, over on that other shore. I am a pilgrim and a stranger traveling through this wearisome land. I've got a home in that yonder city, good Lord, and it's not made by hand. Now I'm going down to that river of Jordan just to bathe my wearisome soul. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, good Lord, then I know he'll take me home. I am a pilgrim and a stranger traveling through this wearisome land. I've got a home in that yonder city, good Lord, and it's not made by hand.
As an easy rider dreaming of Winona, I have got some tales to tell of the place called Winona and the Winona Indian Princess legend. My iron horse isn't doing so terribly well. She really wasn't ready for a lengthy trip like this, and I've done a little bit of maintenance en route. One thing that's substandard is the rectifier has gone bad. I replaced it some years ago, but it's just not... It never was quite right after that. It always overcharged a little and dried out my battery much faster than it should. In Mexico, where motorcycle riding isn't near the pastime, gentleman's pastime that it is in the USA, the word for a rider is a chopper. And so someone asked me one time, "Ay, eres chopper. Oh, are you a chopper?" "No," I responded. "The choppers are Harley riders. I'm a sport bike rider. Los choppers y los deportivas, the choppers and the sport bike riders, somos enemigos. We are enemies, don't you know?" Kind of like baseball fans in Chicago. Everybody, I guess, loves the game, but there's a little bit of a rivalry between the Chicago White Sox and the Cubbies. Very few people support them both, so there is a brotherhood of two-wheelers, but there's a little bit of bad blood. I was just saddling up outside the Chinese restaurant in a small Iowa town, and what happened? A shiny V-twin rumbled up next to me and parked very close by. His lady got off the pee pad, and he stepped off with his black leather vest, a cut-out biker's vest, big biceps and a beer belly, a tough guy, bald with a bushy gray beard and an earring, and only one of his ears like a pirate. I hailed that fellow, but I didn't even say hi. I just shouted out, "Any Harley rider would surely be honored. Give me a push to get this old girl started." Now, those roughneck chopper riders are used to us on our lighter and faster Chinese bikes of joshing them like that and then screaming out of there like a bullet. So when I asked for a push to start my bike, the guy grinned at me sideways and asked, "You fucking with me?" "No, man," I replied. "You see, I parked on a hill so I can get her going myself if I have to, but I need a push. This thing's older than most of my girlfriends." We waited a moment for the traffic to clear. He did give me a push, and then I screamed off like a bullet. And friends, that's how we have to rebuild the brotherhood in order to make America and all of our nations great again. I promised several times to tell about my law enforcement interaction in Arkansas. This was only a few days after entering the nation and having my most positive interaction ever with the U.S. Border Patrol. Even though they did a thorough search, they also were cordial and professional. The trooper was tall, long-legged, and sharp in his crisp uniform, topped off with the Stratton hat customary for drill sergeants, some park rangers, and, of course, most of the state boys. I was not at all sure what would happen when my license was run, since I have personal enemies at the top of the CIA and some of the biggest dinosaurs in the swamp. That feller even granted me permission to step in the woods and take a leak while he was running my papers. So I guess the moral of the story is that just like me and the Harley rider, there's beginning to be a commonality, a mutual understanding, a shaking hands through the fence between the thin blue line between the government employees and the civilians that they're supposed to be protecting and serving. I've waited for years for troopers like that to be able to check out their suspicions and look for troublemakers and be ready for anything without being dicks about everything. You know what else that trooper did not do? He did not give me a bunch of static about weapons. Do you have any guns or weapons with you? Those are aggressive lines of questioning that are meant to provoke. And now there's so many states with constitutional carry that a lot of young officers have taken a position to be ready for anything, but not to prod people on that armament issue. Praise God, America's coming back with a vengeance. Okay, I'm going to play you one Ricky Van Shelton gospel song, Don't Fall Asleep Now, and it's a beautiful story about the eternal kingdom.
Heaven is a city built by jewels red. Its beauty is a splendor yet untold. If you neglect salvation, you'll never enter in. You'll never ever walk those streets of gold. Sometimes we get discouraged while we walk this weary way. But Jesus said he'd every burden bear. So take him all your troubles when it seems all hope is gone. Just trust him when you go. Said, be ready, for you know not when the hour. He may come at morning, night, or noon. So keep your eyes upon him and your soul filled with his power. For you know he's surely coming soon.
I passed through Winona, Minnesota in my travels in the upper Mississippi as I was doing some research on the Laura Ingalls Wilder story. The Ingalls family's little house in the big woods was 7 miles east of the Mississippi outside of Pippin, Wisconsin. Even before the locks and dams and the Corps of Engineers, there upstream from the Chippewa River, there always has been a natural lake, Lake Pippin. For centuries, the legend is that there's a Nessie in there, that there is a Pippin monster. And the Maiden's Rock, from which Winona allegedly jumped, is highly visible there on the Wisconsin side from all points of the lake. The Lover's Leap legend has been told and retold in many places, including The Last of the Mohicans. I never knew from where Winona Ryder got her name, a stage name that I expect she herself chose. But I'll tell you this, the movie Girl Interrupted, starring Winona Ryder and Angelina Jolie, was all about Monarch mind control programming in the CIA psychiatric industrial complex. And I was introduced to that movie by a lady friend and mind control victim who wanted to introduce me to the dark underworld. She said, "Go get this movie," Girl Interrupted. And then she watched it with me. I'm really taking time in my travels to smell the roses. I mean, I hurry as I do it, but I want to see the historic sites. I always thought that they'd always be there and I could always stop next time. And after my 4 years of exile, and during which time I swung in my hammock, doubting that I'd ever get the chance to see these lands again, expecting that war would erupt and that these precious historical monuments would be gone before I could soak up all the information to teach the next generations about it. That is an oversight and a misplaced confidence that I am trying to rectify. So I'm doing some studies. In the Laura Ingalls Wilder series, Little House in the Big Woods was the first book written, but Little House on the Prairie is the most famous. It begins with the departure from Pippin, Wisconsin. Although she appears older in the retelling, Laura was only 2 years old and a few months when they made their departure and crossed the Mississippi over the ice by night. What a bold and harrowing, hazardous journey to cross the ice of the Mississippi River in a horse-drawn covered wagon in the middle of the night. Before daybreak, they found a log cabin and bedded down. Laura tried to sleep deep under the covers in the frozen Minnesota winter, but as she tried to sleep, she heard constant peals like thunder. It was the bursting of the vast sheets of ice over the Mississippi River only hours after they had successfully crossed. Charles Ingalls, being a mighty prophet, knew that they had to make their move right then, and he did it quickly and boldly. He was undeterred even by the spiritual powers in that body of water, which the Indians had for centuries referred to as the Devil's Lake and would not go near, even though it teemed with fish and clams. Commercial fish processing being present on its banks even until only a decade ago. As other places where such monsters are said to exist, it is the scene of common catastrophes. The tragic sinking of a steamboat and the crash of a B-24 Liberator bomber. The better part of 100 years ago, an early snowstorm caught dozens of duck hunters by surprise. Many perished. They were totally unprepared for the waves and for the icy polar wind. But the mighty prophet and frontiersman, Charles Ingalls, braved all of those dangers and crossed with his young family in order to tame lands further west. We have gospel gunfighters like him to thank for this great nation from sea to shining sea. Much more coming up. We'll try to squeeze it in after one more Johnny Cash. Stay with me.
Jesus, I don't want to die alone. Jesus, oh Jesus, I don't want to die alone. My love wasn't true, now all I have is you. Jesus, oh Jesus, I don't want to die alone. Jesus, if you hear my last breath, don't leave me here left to die a lonely death. I know I have sinned, but Lord, I'm suffering. Jesus, oh Jesus, if you hear my last breath, Jesus, die alone. Jesus, oh Jesus, I don't want to die alone. My love wasn't true. Now all I have is you. Jesus, oh Jesus, I don't want to die alone.
Couple final news items. This from Amir Tsarfati. At the invitation of Knesset Speaker Ohana, Argentine President Javier Milei to address Knesset in June. Recall that under the Biden presidency, we've lost both Honduras and Guatemala to communism. However, those Christian presidents followed Trump as the second and third nations to move their Israeli embassies from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Also from him, Pope Leo XIV arrived this morning for his inauguration mass at the Vatican. On the sidelines of the event, U.S. VP J.D. Vance met with Zelensky and shook his hand for the first time since the difficult meeting in the Oval Office in February. Here we see the peace spoken of in the Bible, the deceptive talk of peace. War is coming, hopefully, and it will set some things aright. Let's read from Ezekiel 7. An end is come, the end is come, it watcheth for thee, behold, it is come. The morning is come unto thee, O thou that dwellest in the land. The time is come, the day of trouble is near, and not the sounding again of the mountains. Ye shall know that I am the Lord that smiteth. Behold, the day, behold, it is come. The morning is gone forth. The rod hath blossomed. Pride hath budded. There's a beautiful promise in Amos 9. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof. I'll raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old. But before that, verse 10, all the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, which say the evil shall not overtake nor prevent us. I have to say goodnight, guys. I'm going to play one more country tune of Brooks and Dunn. This one's for the Peli Roja and all the lonely 20-somethings sitting in church, wondering if God has a way forward for them.
She's got a T-top Camaro with a scoop on the hood and two big speakers. Rangers blasting Johnny B. Good. If it's so sweet, it ought to be a crime. She plays with my heart and messes with my mind. Acts like Madonna, but she listens to Merle. Rock my world, little country girl. She wears snakeskin boots made by Calvin Klein. From the five and dime. All the other girls at school, they give her dirty looks. She got an A in math and never cracked a book. She sure looks good in her dinner man pearls. Rock my world, little country girl. Rock my world, drag me out on the floor. Dance with me till I can't dance anymore.
The circuit riding preacher used to ride across the land with a rifle on his saddle and a Bible in his hand. He told the prairie people all about the promised land as he went riding, singing down the trail.
This has been the Living by the Sword radio program with Pastor Samuel Honnold, GospelGunslingers.com.